The first reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen servant of mine, to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" And Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from Revelation chapter 5. We'll begin at the 8th verse. "And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. After saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So about 3 years before our gospel reading, Jesus called Simon, who would be called Peter, a common fisherman. He called him to be his disciple. That day, Jesus called out to Peter, and he told him to cast out his nets for a big catch. Well, Peter replied, "Well, we've been doing this all night, and we haven't caught a thing." But at the word of Christ, Peter did what Jesus said. What could it hurt? One more cast. See what happens. Well, what do we have here? A net full of fish. So many fish at that point, 3 years before our gospel reading. The nets were breaking. They had so much of an overflow of fish. And they brought it into two boats. And the two boats began sinking that they were so full of fish. And at that event, shocked and frightened, because Peter looked at Jesus, and he realized that he was looking at the face of God, the face of the Messiah, the promised Savior of ancient days. And Peter drops to his knees, ashamed, unworthy to even be in the presence of Jesus. And he cried out, "Depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Yet, filled with compassion and mercy, Jesus says to him, "Do not be afraid." And he stands him up. And at Christ's word, Peter is comforted and he is strengthened. Then the Lord told Peter, "From now on, you'll be catching men. You will be a fisher of men." So Peter got up, left everything, followed Jesus. Just a few weeks before our gospel reading, the night Jesus was betrayed, the disciples were all there gathered around in the upper room celebrating the Passover with Jesus, when Jesus surprised them by giving them his last will and testament, something new, instituting the Lord's Supper, his supper, giving his church the food of eternal life, the very body and blood of Christ in, with, and under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins, to take and to eat and to be forgiven. And if you recall, it was on that night that Peter so proudly declared, "Though they all fall away, Lord, because of you, I will never fall away. Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. I will lay down my life for you. If I must die with you, I will not deny you." But again, you know the story. The rooster crowed, just as Jesus foretold. "I am not one of his disciples. And a second time, I do not know what you're talking about. And a third time, I tell you, I do not know the man." Peter denied his Lord three times. Now talk about the crushing weight of sin. Jesus had warned him. He told him. And Peter knew that it was wrong. But he still went right ahead and did it anyway, denying his Lord just to save his own skin. Well, what happened to Petros? What happened to Cephas? What happened to the rock? What happened to all that confidence and strength that he promised would never fall away? That he would endure death, prison, anything. Well, promises broken. His own ability and his own strength, reliance upon his own ability and strength, crushed. His pride humbled. And he rightfully wept bitterly. Oh, that Peter. Can you believe Peter? What a shame. What a shame that Peter did that. I would never do such a thing. Nope, not me, sir. I would never. Well, you sound an awful lot like Peter there, don't you? Are you sure? Because the truth is that none of us are in any position to condemn Peter, because each and every one of us are in the same boat as Peter. We are filled to the brim with the broken promises, both to God and to one another. We are bursting at the seams of our own pride and self-righteousness, excusing away our sin or trying to explain away our sin rather than taking ownership and repenting of it. And yes, when it suits us, we even deny our Lord Jesus Christ to save our own skin, when we don't want to be made fun of in public in this godless culture, when we don't want to speak up against something that is clearly sinful, and when we know, because God has warned us, and we know that it's wrong, and we do it anyway. And it's then, by God's grace, that the piercing alarm of God's law, like the rooster crowing, by God's grace comes to us and gets us to recognize what we have done. Our sin. We recognize our sin. We recognize our failure. We recognize our doubts. We recognize our denials, which ultimately all of it is a denial of our crucified and risen Savior. Like Peter, we should rightfully weep over our sin. But once again, how does our Lord Jesus respond to Peter? Peter, who is crushed and broken, weeping by his own sin. the risen Lord Jesus with the wounds still visible in his hands and his feet and his side, just as we talked last week about he showed them his hands, his feet, his side. He truly is alive, filled with compassion, filled with mercy, just as he had been 3 years prior with Peter, and just as he is with us each and every day. The risen Lord Jesus appeared on the shore, waiting patiently for his beloved disciples, his followers, preparing them breakfast. And he revealed himself to Peter and to the rest with a huge catch of fish, just like he had done 3 years prior. Ah, it is the Lord, recognizing that it is Jesus, wanting so desperately to be reunited with his Lord and Savior Jesus. Peter jumps into the water, swimming with all his might just to be with Jesus. Jesus, filled with compassion and mercy, just as he was 3 years prior, just as he is with us, he says to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." "Feed my lambs." A second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Tend my sheep." A third time, reminding Peter, of course, of the three times that he denied his Lord Jesus, "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me?" Grieved, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus responds, "Feed my sheep." And at Jesus' word, the word of Christ, it was done. Peter is forgiven. He's forgiven of his sins, all of them, including the three denials. He is reconciled with God, and Peter is comforted, and he is strengthened, not in his own ability, not in his own strength, which is nothing, not in himself at all, but in Christ, crucified and risen for him alone. Peter is comforted, he is strengthened, he is restored, he is put back into the position that God called him to be, or Christ called him to be, a fisher of men. And then he is sent by Christ out into the world to preach the gospel, to correctly administer his sacraments, to feed his lambs. Good for Peter. But even better for you. Because through Peter, not just Peter, but all of the apostles, all the way down the line, the Holy Spirit has worked mighty wonders. The message of Christ crucified and risen went out into the world. Faith created in many hearts. Sins forgiven all over the world, including here, all the way down to this very day, here in these pews, where Christ once again comes to you, stands in your midst with the same compassion and mercy that he had for Peter. All the way down to our children and the next generation, three of whom will be publicly confessing their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ very soon, I promise. By God's grace, he allows his gospel to prevail. He allows his gospel to have its way with us too. Your sins are forgiven. You are restored. You are reconciled in Christ crucified and risen. It is done. You are fed. You are comforted. You are strengthened. You are forgiven. You are reconciled with God. By grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you have been restored. Not as an apostle, as Peter was, but as a son or daughter of God. Jane, Asher, and Boston, as you know, here's the quiz, confirmation is not... Did you hear that in the back? No, they didn't hear that in the back, guys. Confirmation is not graduation. We'll let you slide. Confirmation is not graduation. 13 years about before today, the Lord brought you in. He reeled you in into his kingdom. He made you his own. How? Through the waters of holy baptism, he has brought you safely into his holy ark, the church. Less than 2 years ago before this day, he made sure that you were taught the faith that you have been baptized into, that you have been given in and through baptism, how life looks on the boat, how we live our life on the boat, but also the divine treasures that are found within. Well, 2 years from now, or 13 years from now, until your life's end, you will remain sons and daughters of Christ the King. Confirmation is not graduation. Therefore, since you will have different seasons in your life, for each and every season in your life, you will always need Jesus. You will always need to be in the presence of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. You will always need to be forgiven. You will always need to be reconciled. You will always need to be restored, just like Peter. And that's good news, because the Lord has sent pastors, he has sent people here to feed you with his word and with his sacrament. And thanks be to God, you have it. You have it all. So today we rejoice. We rejoice in the faith that the Lord has given to you. We rejoice in hearing that confession that you are about to make, that faith before God and these witnesses. I'm proud of each one of you. I'm proud of the work that you did in class. Most of all, though, it brings me the greatest pleasure to know that you know what Christ has done for you and will continue to do for you throughout your entire life, feeding you with his word, and quite literally now, with his very body and blood here at the Lord's table. And he will continue to do so. He will continue. So as our gospel reading ended, this is where I'll end my sermon as well. Just as Jesus says to Peter, he says to you, follow me. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.